This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Come out of the world, oh my people, sing the truth.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Shalom, brothers and sisters, and praise Yah for another blessed day. Hallelujah. Thank you for listening to today's message, and I pray that we really comprehend what is being shared here today, because this is something that is essential when we understand the gospel of Yeshua, and when we think about what is the gospel, what is it? You know, how many times have you pondered that question? We often say the kingdom is near and repent, the kingdom is near. But truly, what is the gospel? Many believers have heard this message or this idea for a long time, but they never fully embraced it. And the problem is, if we misunderstand this one truth, we spend our entire walk expecting far less than what our Creator has for us. See, many people believe that salvation means that a wonderful Creator forgives us every time we fail. Praise our wonderful Creator that He does forgive us. And those who generally repent and come to Him with a humble heart, He always forgives us. Praise Yah. But if forgiveness is all we expect, then we have settled for less than Messiah came to accomplish. And that's what I want to talk about today. Folks, the gospel is bigger than forgiveness. The gospel is about transformation. The purpose of Yeshua was not simply to pardon guilty people. His purpose was to make sinful people holy people, set apart people. Let's look at this first scripture, Matthew 1:21. Matthew 1:21 says, "She will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Yahshua, because he will save his people from their sins." You see, in Hebrew, the language and the culture, the names were given after the child was born. They were prayed about, and there was a title to each name. And Yahshua means the salvation of Yahweh. Hallelujah. The salvation of Yahweh. It goes right along with Matthew 1:21. Notice carefully what the angel did not say. Let me read Matthew 1:21 once again. "She will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Yahshua," or the salvation of Yahweh, "because he will save his people from their sins." Notice this. The angel did not say he would save his people in their sins. He did not say he will leave them in bondage while continually excusing them. He said he would save them from their sin. The little word "from" changes everything. What does salvation really mean? Think about this. When Israel stood trapped between Pharaoh and the Red Sea, our Creator didn't simply forgive them for being slaves. He brought them out. He broke Pharaoh's power. He destroyed the army that held them captive. That is a picture of salvation. Sin is like Pharaoh. Many believers know they've been forgiven, but they continue living as though Pharaoh is still in charge. We think about spiritual warfare, whether it's Pharaoh in that situation or the spiritual warfare in the enemy. Many people today have been saved, but they let Satan continue to rule their lives. So we see the example with Pharaoh, and we give you this example. People think, "This is just who I am. I'll always struggle with this. I'll always have this temper. I'll always have this addiction, or I'll always battle this bitterness." But the great thing about Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah, is we get away from that stinking thinking. Romans 6 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Romans 6:14. Notice, it doesn't say sin won't tempt you. It doesn't say you'll never fight another battle. And it says, it is no longer your master. That's what it says. There is a tremendous difference between temptation and slavery. Every believer will be tempted, but no believer has to remain a slave. You understand this, folks. This is so important. Our Creator has always wanted us to be obedient and follow His guidelines and instructions. That's what He wanted. He always wanted us to obey. Some people think this is only a New Testament idea, but it's not. From the beginning, Yahweh's desire has been for people to walk with Him. When our Creator brought Israel out of Egypt, His goal wasn't simply to free them from the chains of Egypt. He wanted to bring them into a covenant. He wanted a holy nation, a set-apart nation, and people whose hearts belonged to Him. He repeatedly said, be holy because I am holy, or be set apart because I am set apart. The idea of that was be different from the world. That's what holy is. Set apart, different from the world. Be different from those that do not have this faith, from those who do not believe, for those whose eyes have not been opened, for those who don't understand. Holiness wasn't introduced in the renewed covenant. The new covenant simply gives us the power to live what our Creator has already desired for us. Listen to Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Ezekiel 36:26-27. Notice what our Creator promises. I'll forgive your failures. He says, I'll change your heart. I'll put my spirit inside you. I'll enable you to obey. That is truly amazing grace. You understand, grace isn't permission to remain the same. Grace is our Creator's power working inside us to become different. When we think about this spiritual warfare that's going on, or if we just think about the roadblocks that people suffer today, we have to ask why so many believers stay defeated. Why so many people that have confessed Yeshua still do not understand or get this. And the reason why is because they still expect defeat. They expect it. If you expect to lose every battle, you probably will. Imagine a soldier entering a fight, convinced he cannot win. His mindset is already defeating him. Many believers pray like this. Lord, forgive me because I know I am going to do it again. But what if we begin praying differently? Father, you promised to give me victory. Help me walk in that victory today. That is faith, and faith doesn't deny our weakness. Faith believes in our Creator's strength, that it is greater than our weakness. When David faced Goliath, he didn't say, I'm stronger. He said the battle belongs to a wonderful Creator. Our confidence is never in ourselves. It's always in our Creator. Real freedom begins in the heart. Most people try to manage behavior. Yahweh transforms the heart. If someone's only change and only seeks to change their outward appearances, then their hearts remained unchanged. eventually the old behavior returns. Yeshua repeatedly emphasized the heart. Adultery begins with lust. Murder begins with hatred. Stealing begins with greed. Lying begins with a dishonest heart. The outside reflects what's happening inside. The scripture says, as the face is reflected in water, the heart reflects the man. You understand? Religion concentrates on the appearance, while our Creator concentrates on the heart. That is why David prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O Yah," Psalms 51:10. He didn't ask merely for a better behavior. He asked for a new heart. The difference between modification and transformation is what we're talking about here. There is a difference between trying harder and becoming different. You understand, behavior modification depends on human effort. Transformation depends on the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see the difference? Suppose someone has an anger problem and they decide, "I'm never going to yell again." They grit their teeth, they bite their tongue, and they suppress their emotions. Perhaps they were successful for a little while. Then one stressful day, everything explodes. Why? Because the heart wasn't changed. They were still relying on their own power. Now picture another believer. He comes to our Creator honestly. "Father, show me why I become angry." And our Creator reveals pride, selfishness, impatience, control. As these things are surrendered, something changes inside. Now situations that once triggered anger no longer have that same power. That is transformation. And I'm here to tell you today that everything you struggle with, every temptation you have a difficult time with, every sin can be defeated. Yeshua gave us that opportunity. He set the example for us. Every sin can be defeated. When we walk around saying, "Well, no one can follow all of the commandments," or "no one can live according to the Bible fully," we're literally saying we do not have the power to walk the way our Creator wanted us to walk. Sometimes believers think that certain sins are impossible to overcome, but Scripture never teaches that anywhere. There are many, many different types of ways that people will shortcome themselves. There are many ways that people struggle and think that they can't overcome these things. They say, "That's just who I am," or "It's too difficult for me to be perfect in that area." It's not about perfection. It's about transformation. Our Creator can free somebody from bitterness. Absolutely. Can He free somebody from lust? Absolutely. Or from greed or fear or from jealousy? Yes, yes, and yes. You must believe this. The battle won't necessarily just disappear overnight. Yes, some victories happen quickly, and others develop as we continue walking with Him. Sanctification is often a journey, but every step forward is evidence that our Creator is working. Don't become discouraged, because growth is gradual. An oak tree doesn't appear overnight. It grows one season at a time. The problem is many believers today are, they're not patient. They're impatient. They want to see something immediately. If our Creator doesn't give them an answer immediately, they think, "Well, he's not listening to my prayers," or even worse, they don't even believe in Him anymore. And this is the problem. We have to understand that there are seasons of growth, and we just have to keep staying faithful and work and close and getting closer to Him. He doesn't forget our prayers. Just because He didn't answer them immediately doesn't mean He didn't hear our prayer. Mature disciples are formed over years of faithful obedience. We must let go and of the person we were before. Being born again means new, born again. We have to remember one of Satan's greatest lies is to convince people that they must define themselves for their former lives. He tries to convince people that this is just who you are and you'll never change. But remember what the word says. Our Creator says you are a new creation. When our Creator changed Abram's name to Abraham, he gave him a new identity before the promise was fulfilled. Before Jacob's character was fully changed, Yahweh called him Israel. Yahweh often speaks to us according to what his grace is producing, not merely what we currently see. Keep thinking of your former self and your former failures. And start thinking and saying what our Creator says about you. Not with pride, not pretending, but believing in his promise. Believe in it. Victory comes one choice at a time. See, many people think that when you become a believer or you say a prayer, everything's going to dramatically change instantly. And it can. But sometimes Yahweh doesn't work that way. He often works through daily obedience. Every day you forgive instead of becoming bitter. Every day you choose truth instead of deception. And every day you humble yourself instead of defending your pride. Every day you obey instead of compromise. You become more like Messiah. Remember, being set apart in holiness is built through thousands of faithful decisions. Small acts of obedience shape a godly life. Don't despise the ordinary. Yahweh often does his greatest work through consistent faithfulness rather than spectacular moments. Thankfully, we are not doing this on our own power. And this is what we really need to get, and something I talk a lot about in this ministry. And the difference between being a believer in Yahshua, a wonderful Messiah, and following the world and the world's ways. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, the set-apart Spirit, is our helper. And our Creator never commands something without providing the grace to obey it. You understand? Our Creator never commands something without providing the grace to obey it. He's given us the guidelines and instruction in Scripture, but he's also given us the power to obey it. He wouldn't give us something we couldn't obey. When Yeshua ascended, he didn't leave his disciples alone. He gave them the Holy Spirit, the Spirit to help them, to convict them, teach them, and strengthen them, and to remind us of our Creator's guidelines and instructions to produce fruit that we cannot manufacture ourselves. You see, there's worldly ideas of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faith, gentleness and self-control. There's worldly ideas of this, but those worldly ideas of these topics are not the same as our Creator's ideas of these topics. And the Scripture calls those the fruit. We don't have joy because we won the lottery, or we have a love because we have a fleshly passion for something. No, it's a love and a joy because we understand what Yeshua did for us, and it is with us all the time. These are called the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the human determination. And the closer we walk with our Creator, the more these qualities begin appearing in our lives. Not because we become impressive people, but because God's life is being formed within us. And that is the miracle of salvation. That is not merely our record in heaven as being cleared. It is our hearts being changed day by day into the likeness of our wonderful Messiah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for touching us and changing us. Remember, it's more than just forgiveness. It's salvation. That's why Yeshua died for us. If our Creator only gave us Yeshua for forgiveness, then our walk, our life would be an endless cycle of failure, confession, failure again, confession again, and never expecting real growth. But that is not the picture of what we see throughout Scripture. A wonderful Heavenly Father desires children who are growing in holiness, becoming more like His Son. The question isn't whether believers will ever make mistakes. The question is this: do we believe that our wonderful Creator has the power to change us? And that question reveals what we truly believe about salvation. Folks, don't settle for less than what our Creator has promised. Sometimes we lower our Creator's promise to match our experience instead of raising our faith to match His word. Perhaps you struggle with impatience for years, or fear. Maybe you struggle with gossip or worry or pride or resentment towards somebody. And the temptation is there to think this is who I am and it's always been this way. But Scripture never encourages us to identify ourselves by our weaknesses. Instead, He points to the strength of our Creator. This is the difference, everybody, when we rely on our own power or His power. This is the difference. And we got to understand this. It's not by our strength, it's by His strength. And the less we become and let Him become more, that's the answer. Most other belief systems, all the belief systems around the world, focus on you. You becoming stronger. You becoming louder. You becoming more known. The world today and the enemy drives this for you to become more and our Creator to become less. That's not what the Scriptures say. I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. And folks, that doesn't mean we can accomplish every dream we imagine. It means whatever our Creator calls us to do, He supplies us the grace to obey it. You know, we won't have the struggles that we would have in our own fleshly bodies. He calls us to forgive. We have no problem forgiving. He humbles up. We have no problem being humble. To love our enemies sounds in our fleshly desires like it's impossible to love somebody who's our enemy. But He calls us to love our enemies, and by His power, we can do it. To walk in purity, by His power, we can do it. You understand, our Creator never commands obedience without providing divine help. This is what it's about, not just about forgiveness. It's about saving us from our former selves. It's about saving us from the worldly temptations. It's about saving us from all of this. This is what Yeshua did for us. But sometimes when we don't get our answers immediately, sometimes we start to question these things because our faith isn't as strong as we think it is. One question is often, why didn't God save that person or do this or change his life immediately? Or why does he let him go through that struggle? Or why does he not act immediately? And we don't have all the answers of why our Creator delays answers sometimes and delays things sometimes. Why sometimes when we pray for healing of a disease or direction in our life or for doors to be open, sometimes the answers don't come immediately. Sometimes months might pass, years might even pass. Scripture doesn't explain every delay. But there are things that only our Creator knows. Only our Creator knows. But one thing I notice is that waiting often accomplishes something inside us that immediate answers never could. Waiting teaches dependence. Waiting exposes our motives, develops perseverance, and waiting reveals whether we trust our Creator's timing or we are on our own. James tells us in James 1 verse 4, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Notice that maturity is not produced by comfort. It's produced through endurance. Many of us often pray, Lord, strengthen my faith. Then we're surprised when He allows situations to require faith. Faith isn't built by reading about trust. Faith grows when we continually trust while we don't yet understand. Trust this, folks, that our Creator's timing is always perfect. Think about Abraham. Yahweh promised him his son. Did Isaac arrive the following week? No, years passed. Every birthday reminded Abraham that the promise had not yet arrived. Yet our Creator was never late. Moses spent 40 years in Pharaoh's palace, then 40 years in the wilderness. Only then did Yahweh sent him back to Egypt. David was anointed king while still a young shepherd, but years passed before he ever sat on his throne. Joseph received dreams from Yahweh as a teenager, yet before these dreams were fulfilled, he experienced betrayal, slavery, false accusations, and prison. None of those delays mean Yahweh has forgotten his promise. Yahweh was preparing the man before fulfilling the assignment. Sometimes we ask our Creator to change our circumstances. Meanwhile, Yahweh is changing us. And often that is the greatest miracle. We must get this and understand this. One of the greatest freedoms in ministry comes when we remember whose work it really is. Yeshua said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Matthew 28:18. Everything that follows the Great Commission rests on that statement. He did not begin by saying, go because the world has many needs. The world certainly has many needs, but our motivation is not simply human need. Our motivation is obedience to the King. There is a tremendous difference. Have a blessed day, brothers and sisters, and shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.
We need the fire. We need the fire. We need the fire. It's my desire. We need the fire. We need the fire. We need the fire. It's my desire. Oh, let it fall on me.